This is a meeting of the Pacific National Board National Programming Committee. This is Sherman Brock, acting chair, while Rob Robinson is on temporary leave.
I'm here.
He's in the call. We do not have a quorum. I won't take roll right now until Attila comes in. We made a decision as we went into the call that we would conduct the meeting as a committee of the whole. So let me just start by asking people, is that okay? Do you want me to take roll, or shall we wait and see what happens?
Why don't you just find out, establish who's there now, and then continue as the committee of the whole from
okay.
that point on, Sherney, if I can suggest.
Okay, great. Wendy, you're there.
Yes.
Okay. Kathy Davis cannot be here. Margaret cannot be here. Sarf cannot be on the call. Bonnie, you're still here.
I'm here.
Kimberly, you're still there.
Yes.
Teresa was on the call and had to leave. Lisa Davis is here. Serene Roberts is still here.
Yes, I'm here. Lisa's here.
Okay. Dan Logan is not here. Lori Taguma is not here. And Sherna Glass is here. Okay. Mainly what we probably need is at least to decide, even as a committee of the whole, on the agenda. My goal is to get us off this call within 1 hour. Wendy, did you ever send any minutes?
You know what? I just thought of that today, that I was the one who volunteered to take notes last time, and no, I didn't send them. What I did was kind of just write down what everybody said. I didn't really turn them into minutes. I can send out what I wrote, but
okay.
I guess I should probably make them more like minutes. And
okay, could you? And then, I mean, if we decide to do a committee of the whole next time, then I think we can at least review them.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't have a lot of action items, but yeah, I can send out what I had.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, Doreen, is that who's trying to talk?
Oh, this is Lisa. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
I'm not muted. God, let me try.
this is so dangerous.
Oh,
yeah, we have something going on in the background. Okay, what I had suggested for tonight was a discussion of national programming issues. We never found out what was happening with the that supposed new national program. And Nathan has told me there's planning on election programming. Rob will call in a half hour to give us an update on licensing and distribution. And I wanted to suggest that we really, my own feeling is that we're kind of drifting as a committee. And I wanted to suggest that the next meeting, that the only agenda be a discussion of the committee of the whole, to discuss our goals and directions, because we supposedly are driven by the national program policy that we spent so much time trying to pass. So I would like to make that suggestion as basically a one agenda item committee of the whole meeting for our November meeting. What do people think? Is anyone out there?
Sounds like a reasonable idea to me, Bonnie.
Okay, anyone have any other suggestions as to how we could somehow get ourselves more focused and constructive? All right, so shall we try that? And Rob has a long resolution that maybe could be a starting point. I know I've raised several times the status report on the implementation of national program policy, particularly around program evaluations and new voices, the two things that have concerned me the most. But I think, you know, maybe if we look at this resolution that Rob has, and then everyone kind of thumb through the national program policy that we spent so much time discussing and sort of pick out where we think we should be focusing. How does that sound?
Two questions. This is Kimberly. Mm-hmm. One, can we send, has that been sent around recently? I know it's been sent in the past. Has the final version been sent around recently?
I don't think recently. I think that, you know, either Rob or I could definitely send it.
That would be great. And then what is the date of the next meeting?
Well, we were talking about the, I don't have my calendar here right now. We were talking about, we've got that Thanksgiving weekend, of alternating Mondays and Tuesdays. So the next meeting would be on a Monday, which I know it's not terrific for Margaret, but she did come on last time for over an hour. And I think if, you know, people came on to the call in the beginning, we could have a productive discussion in the course of an hour. Let me see if I wrote an actual date down. I didn't write down a date for November. We were saying, weren't we saying the third Mondays? Oh, wait, you have a conflict, don't you, Kimberly, with the third Monday?
The IPC meeting, I think, is also the third Monday.
Yeah, and I have a conflict with the fourth Monday.
But obviously you are more important. But if it starts at 5:30, I don't think the IPC meetings start till 7 usually.
Okay. Is that Dan?
No, I could actually do it.
Yes.
Okay. Hi, Dan.
How are you?
Dan Logan just joined the call. Technically, we do have a quorum, I believe. Do we want to still just keep it as a committee of the whole, or do we want to go into official session?
Well, if we don't have anything to vote on, I don't know if it,
okay.
if it matters.
Okay, so if we try for a meeting on the third Monday of November, I'm trying to look at my calendar, which is the 19th, starting as close as possible for those in the East, 8:30, 7:30, those of you in Texas, and 5:30 for us, and have that be a meeting of the Committee of the Whole to discuss our direction and goals, and with people having reviewed the National Programming Policy, as well as this resolution that Rob is going to send out. So that's the 19th of November. How's that sound, everyone? It sounds like all of you have even lower energy than me today. okay, I'm going to assume that's a yes. Are there any objections? All right, hearing no objections, our next meeting, we will try and start as close to 5:30, 7:30, and 8:30, depending on our time zone, and have a meeting for an hour to an hour and a half to discuss our goals and direction. Okay, Nathan, I had you down to discuss national programming issues. The other item on the agenda was Rob's update on licensing and distribution, and I don't know if we want to get into a discussion on the status reports on implementation of the National Program Policy, since that's partially what we're going to really be focusing on next time. Can we defer that and incorporate that into next month's discussion?
I'm sorry, the last part there, the implementation of the policy?
Yeah. I had down here program evaluations and new voices training and incorporation specifically. So we could either get an update from you on it or just fold that into that discussion next time.
Let's just fold it in next time. That's fine by me.
Okay. So, Nathan, do you want to tell us, first of all, what has happened since our last call with regard to all those ideas about a national program?
Sure. Let me give you just a quick update on a couple things. I'm also going to throw in quickly just a Free Speech Radio news item. Very short update. Basically, ideas for national program. I kept talking to the staff. I believe at the last meeting here was the last meeting here to invite the program directors and try
right,
to
right, right, right.
Basically, I mean, things didn't come together at the staff level to have that conversation at the governance level. It was kind of a non-starter in a way, in my assessment. I think I sent around an email to that effect, basically kind of a bit of what went down and how it went down. I don't have it in front of me right this minute, but basically the short version is that there was one set of folks that had one idea in mind, more of a talk show format, another set of folks that had more of a rotating production around the network, utilizing each station as the base one day of the week, including rotating hosts, rotating content, all that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So neither of those really took off among the whole group. We had several folks that objected to both, and one station that kind of didn't really commit one way or the other, and then one station that didn't want either. Mm-hmm. So frankly, I think in terms of a new daily national show, in some ways I look back and I'm rather disappointed that it didn't work out, and in some ways I also recognize though that it really would require a great deal of time and effort to pull this together, and God bless our ambition for trying to do it starting in June when our budget cycle ends September 30th. But it didn't really come together in that way. So that essentially is dormant right now. I mean, it's still a good idea to have a solid daily show that does complement Democracy Now! In a way that can raise a bunch of money and bring in a bunch of listeners and sustain the network. But we don't have the we're not ready to move to the next step of the discussions at this point, I don't think. And some in the network would probably also say we're not ready to do it in terms of production capacity either. So fair enough.
Okay.
So that said, at the last meeting here, I did take down notes. There were like 6 or 7 different ideas for shows, if I recall. Before I get into all that, though, let me also give a quick update on the Free Speech Radio News topic. In Berkeley, at the PNB meeting, Monica Lopez and Dante Toza from FSRN came to our staff meetings, to our operations collective meeting, to discuss Free Speech Radio News. Our staff asked them a lot of questions about what they do and their financial situation and all that kind of thing. And it was a good conversation, sort of directed towards that goal that we've had for quite a while of bringing FSRN back into the network and sort of fleshing out ways that we might do that. It was a very initial conversation. I think more thorough conversations are going to develop with FSRN once we have an executive director on board. It's the sort of thing you can't really take on that well when you know there's a new head coming in, but the head isn't there yet.
Yeah.
But that said, we sort of paved the way a bit, I think, and I think there's somewhat different goals among different players at the operations collective level. But I think that in general, people are interested in having a vibrant and functioning FSRN that's part of Pacifica, and sort of figuring out the details will be a process, and a fairly long process, I'm sure, but one that will ultimately be very beneficial.
Nathan, can I ask, I'd like to ask some questions about this. One is just kind of an information thing. The FSRN reports, I've heard the last couple of days, someone in Oregon seems to be the anchor, not Aura.
Aura has been off for a while because she's filling in for Sonali there on Uprising.
Right.
Yeah, they do that all the time.
Yeah, they do it all the time. This was a little different, though, because Ada often will be gone for like a week or 2 weeks or a couple days, whatever. This is more extended. It's like 6 or 8 or no, more than that. It's like 12 weeks or something. I don't...
Okay. So is that someone from an affiliate station?
Yeah, KBOO, I believe, is okay. Where that's based. I don't know... I don't think I actually know the person.
Mm.
But yeah, I think that person's from KBOO. I would have to check.
Okay.
But,
I have another question. I'm sure other people do, too, about FSRN. We have been complaining here in L.A. for a very long time that we don't have weekend news. And although for years Eva kept saying it was in the works, it just has never happened. I know KPFA has half-hour evening news. I didn't know about the other stations. Is there any possibility that as things move forward with FSRN, that they would be willing to also do weekend newscasts? It would be filling a major void in the progressive world.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of possibility for future programming that we initiate with through an FSRN that's part of Pacifica. I think there's a lot that can be put on the table. If we can find funding for it, they also would like to do great things and to do work that's in an expanded format from their current time. That said, I mean, I think money is going to be an issue there, because if they if we're doing a national program that could potentially be on 100 stations, then really it would be it would kind of behoove us to probably pay the reporters so that we have stringers that are reliable, so on and so forth. At this time, we are in a budget situation that doesn't allow us a whole lot of flexibility. So really, adding another whole day or two whole days in addition to the five that FSRN already does would be a bit of a stretch, really quite a lot of a stretch. Now, that said, as we integrate them in, I think that's a great conversation to have, and we should talk about it. But that's something for future, I think.
Okay. Anyone else have any questions of Nathan on the FSRN issue? I guess not. Okay, Nathan, you told me in an email that you were involved in planning some election programming.
Yes. Well, Leanne Caldwell, also from FSRN, speaking of, contacted me a couple weeks ago asking about Pacifica's plans for an election year program. I said, well, we don't really have plans for a regular weekly program at this point. We were kind of busy twiddling our thumbs. Not twiddling our thumbs. That's talking about a daily being on it. And so I said, well, hey, sure, let's talk. So we've been talking, and she's got some ideas, I had some ideas, and we put together a bit of a concept for a show that I think might actually work pretty well around the network. Now, I wanted to have a whole, like, pitch thing for you tonight, and I do have a bit of it done. I can send you a rough draft clock and a rough draft production flow for the election program, and I'll do that after I talk by email. But here's the pitch, basically. There's the saying that all politics is local. So with that sort of notion in mind, we're looking at producing a 40-week radio series. It'd be weekly, 1 hour per week, and also having a web project, a web presence that complements that. The series of hour-long episodes, engages diverse voices from our local communities and our stations, and as well as our affiliates, and FSRN's affiliates, and basically illustrates how local visions and goals can be reflected in national elections. That's the broad concept. So basically here, politics in its broad sense is a lot more than just campaigns and parties and going to polls. It's the social space where people talk about the issues and talk about what's possible and what's best for their communities. So this program basically covers politics in the 2008 election cycle in this broader sense. The program and its web components cover elections and issues as they funnel up from the community base, from the grassroots level, up to a national platform. So the radio program basically has two large content elements. One is in-depth and investigative reporting, complemented by dialogue, revealing and challenging discussion and analysis. And those are interspersed. The project then also includes a web component so that the communities that we serve can interact with the producers and have dialogue there. And the community members who listen can also be a part of the production in a real way, uploading content and being part of it. In terms of content elements, basically we thought of a few things. We are flexible on a number of items, though some we would like very much, but we are flexible, and I'm bringing it to you now, actually, even though it's not 100% fleshed out, because I would like your input. So hopefully we can talk a bit more about it with staff coming up. Basically, kicking things off with a pre-produced weekend review wrap-up of election-related news. And that would probably be produced by Free Speech Radio News staff. And the other thing, let me say, too, since this is a weekly program, it might actually, at least temporarily, fill Sherna's request for a weekend news program.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about feeding this, uploading this program Saturdays around midday, you know, late morning or early afternoon Eastern time. So there would be potential there for that particular. So anyway, kicking off the hour with a 4 or 5 minute weekend review of election related news. Sort of the most explicitly election related news segment. After that, going into basically a short discussion about it, bringing in some guests, like one or two guests, to talk about that particular news, analysis of what's going on. So then that follows up at about, 10 or 12 minutes after the show starts with a series of features, I would say roughly three features, that are produced at our stations or in communities. The first two features in particular focusing on really kind of community issues that have national implications, and then the third feature tying it together in some fashion and really showing how this is all part of a package, part of a national issue, and so that they build on each other. So you've got a series of features there that are basically investigative reports, building one onto the next, and then finishing up with discussion that takes it to the end of the half hour. Discussion, analysis, dialogue, conversation about the issues raised and how it affects people and why this stuff is actually quite important. And really going into the depth and the depth and the sort of perspective that our listeners expect, and that can also bring in new listeners while also, basically having a format that moves. Second half would be somewhat similar in that have a feature and then discussion analysis, a feature and then some discussion analysis, take it back to the end of the hour. The idea here is to complement the pre-produced documentary work and work with dialogue. People like dialogue and conversation, and they also like investigative reporting. Unfortunately, of course, you can't really do a whole hour of investigative reporting on our budget. It's just it gets pricey pretty quick when you're paying people for hard, in-depth news. And really, if it's with the occasional exception, like the occasional very, very good hour-long documentary or half-hour documentary, it really is kind of good to change it up anyway. So I'm not too worried about that. one of the segments that Leanne and I were both sort of interested in was the idea of having a follow the money feature, tracking the relationships of corporate money and political favor. The exact form or place on the clock is still pretty flexible, I think. I think in a sense, the success of the program's concept, this idea of funneling up community issues to a national platform and developing a sense of flow between the national scale and the local scale. The success of the program is in large part going to depend on our ability to examine that relationship and that connection. So I think that's our goal with this, is to look at that. And in a lot of ways, I think it's very consistent with the programming policy in terms of using voices at our stations, also in terms of incorporating people who maybe haven't contributed to national programming as much. There's a lot of room for that. Folks that already have editing skills and that have a sense of how to put together a story can be involved. The web component I haven't fleshed out quite as much yet, but I think that's still to come. I think Pete Caracas' web 2.0 material that he's got posted there at Pacifica.org has great groundwork for it that we can plug in with relative ease. Let's see. I think this would be based, this program would have a team. An executive producer, an assistant producer, possibly a tech producer, and possibly a web producer. I say possibly because funding is king. It depends on how much grant money we can get, basically. The producers would probably also host. On sort of a bare-bones budget, the producers could be half-time. If we're actually able to get some grant support, one or both could be full-time. Same goes for the tech and web producer, basically, making that work. What we're looking at here is sort of a bilateral relationship in a way with this production team and the all the stations and other Pacifica and FSRN units that are involved. So the sister stations, Pacifica's affiliates, FSRN affiliates, the Washington Bureau, the Radio Arc, the PRA, all of them work with the production team here to provide discussants. You know, say a station's news director or some reporters could be the folks doing the analysis one night, in addition to sort of the outside experts. They also promote the program among their reporters and producers, you know, try and get people plugged in from their local areas. They provide basic in-kind support, you know, studio space. And they provide ideas. We need their ideas on how best to carry out a program like this. Coming back to them, the production team solicits, you know, investigative reports and audio and guests, also maintains open communication on content development and feedback, and, of course, provides pledge drive support to stations in addition to the program itself. I have touched base with a couple of program directors. Leanne and I were interested in having this based in Washington, D.C., for multiple reasons, not the least of which is access to the actual politicians that are running for elections. But, you know, that's just one reason. I would serve essentially an advisory capacity, sort of advising as to the general direction of the program, coordinating communication among the production team and all the different players involved in the network, including the programming committee, you all, who could provide feedback through me. And then, of course, if it is based in D.C., I can assist with production as needed if somebody's out sick or whatever. At this point, it basically is dependent on grants in a lot of ways. I think there's demand for it. I think audience will be there for it. It appeals to sort of a general audience, although I guess you would have to sort of have some sense of what's going on and follow the news at least. The basics of the news to kind of get it. It's not really like a primary news source in that it doesn't cover everything going on in the world, but it is, you know, a very strong supplement. And so I think it would be good to have sort of a generally informed listenership would be very interested in it across age and gender lines and such not. I think the demand for it comes from three areas. First, we don't have any plans for regular election programming yet. I mean, we've got plans for specials, but nothing as far as like a weekly show or much less daily. Yet, of course, our core listeners and stations are expecting this kind of programming coming from Pacifica. Second, according to the affiliate report from earlier this year, our affiliate stations are most interested in three kinds of programming from Pacifica. Those three are investigative reports, documentaries, and election coverage. This program taps all three. And third, the program offers the opportunity for network-wide listenership growth. It'll be a big, hot issue when the election keeps rolling around. I mean, it already is. XM started a 24/7 channel devoted to nothing but presidential election discussion. It gets pretty vapid after a while, I'm sure, but hey, that's what they're doing, and people, I guess, are listening. At the same time, so many media outlets are cutting back on their investigative reporting, and they're having this kind of vapid conversation. This proposal is really much more about in-depth reporting and thoughtful dialogue. I've got some sense of expectations for success and measures of how we know we've achieved a certain kind of success. I can leave those to you right now, I can save those for later if you like. Basically, regardless of how we move forward, bring it for this program, and I think we do, to make sure it's very good. And based on 100 stations and more, we probably want to have that sense of reliability and that sense that people are going to get their shit in on time, you know. So basically, if have page stringers at somewhat competitive rates, then we really need to have a significant budget for the program, even if it is just weekly. You know, in very preliminary discussions, Leanne and I figured that between FSRN and we could probably pony up about half, maybe third to a half of the budget just from our operating budgets, or you know, small. In the case of FSRN, some kind of small other fundraising campaign among their stations. but we would really still need to find some grants. And I've done some research on that. I've got half a dozen foundations that I've sort of pulled that seem like they would be likely funders of a project like this. In some cases, groups that already fund other public radio shows or Democracy Now or other sort of web-based, in some cases web-based sort of in-depth journalism kind of work. Working with Phil Osegueda at the national office, as well as Lonnie, to talk about that and sort of see what we could do to make this proposal the best to get it some money. Once that happens, I think we can move forward with some hiring. And well, all right, once that happens, if and when that happens, I think we can move forward with a pilot, get feedback on how that pilot is and how it goes, and hopefully put it into production. Before we do all that stuff, though, I'm putting carts before horses, and I want to make sure we get feedback from this committee as well as from folks at stations. You know, not just program directors, but also some other key players.
Okay, well, why don't we open it up for discussion then?
Wendy?
I'm sorry, who?
Wendy.
Wendy, hi. Okay, go.
Nathan, so has any of this been run by the incoming executive director?
No, not yet. She didn't really want to receive a whole deluge of emails and stuff before it happened, before she actually starts the job. In very preliminary conversations with her, I get the sense that she's interested in having national programming, but no, it hasn't been.
Okay. I think that would be really appropriate. And so I was kind of out of the room for the very first part of this. So this is an FSRN production?
Well, FSRN came to me, but it's a Pacifica production, and we're working with FSRN's infrastructure on it.
And there's an opportunity for people at our stations to get in on it, just with their production, but to get paid for it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The features, the investigative features are paid stringers doing that work, and I expect those stringers to come, you know, some from FSRN and some from Pacifica stations and affiliates. There's also an opportunity for folks at our stations to be involved as analysts and discussants in the dialogue segments. Though those aren't paid, that's just a short. What do you think of this?
And do you have any idea of how much it will cost? And what, when you say we'll have to get some grants, do you have some clue on that there is some kind of grant like that available?
Yeah. I can name them. I mean, there's you know, possibilities from a bunch of foundations, Ford Foundation, Joyce Foundation, Knight Foundation, the Veach Foundation, possibly. Who knows? They haven't funded media per se, but they funded other radical groups doing work.
Can we see if other people have reactions to the general concept before we get into some of those details?
Yeah, thanks. Serene for the stack.
Okay, Serene.
Thanks. You know, I had to switch phones. I've been trying to talk for half an hour before Nathan started. We're talking about a national program, and whether we're talking about a weekly program or a daily program, we've thought of decided that there needed to be a conversation, I thought, with this committee and the PDs before we moved forward. So while, you know, I'm glad to hear that people have ideas and they're coming to the table with, you know, a lot of detail, it seems to me that we're well beyond putting the cart before the horse. I mean, that's a conversation that hasn't happened, that needs to happen. I had certainly asked for some funding information, some budget information around the last election program, Informed Dissent, and none of that information has been provided. So before we talk about spending money, whether it's existing money or money that we plan to ask for, that could just as easily be asked for to support other programs and initiatives that are languishing without
Rob Robinson
from the without any attention from the national the network program coordinator. I really would like to see what we spent last year, who we spent it on. The diversity study has still not been provided. I would say that we are
okay.
Proceeding a bit out of state.
Serene, if you could finish, yes. And Nathan, if you could not respond yet so that we can let Rob make his... Rob, can you do it in 5 minutes?
Sure, I'll do my best.
Okay. And then we'll go back to... I don't have anyone else on the stack. I mean, this is a big project, and, you know, I would think that we would have a whole lot of questions about it. But, Rob, if you can... try and give us, like, an update in 5 minutes, that'd be great.
Okay, let me talk about PodSafe Music, number one. PodSafe Music is music which Pacifica has licensed to, which can be used freely without copyright cost to anybody. On August the 10th, John Almella and I met with WFMU, with Ken Friedman and Liz Berg, and discussed how they do their PodSafe music library there, which has been in existence for about 5 years now. They have a $400,000 grant from the Rockefeller Philanthropy Advisors to complete that. And they, interestingly, they also have a blog, that's done in conjunction with some of their live programming. KPFK has agreed to inaugurate a PodSafe project for us, and, the person that's been designated to coordinate that is Zubari Fields, the operations director for KPFK. The Creative Commons people have agreed to work with us to develop some mock-ups that can be used for people to understand how to use Creative Commons licensing. we've also drafted, actually... release documents for the recording of music for PodSafe purposes for local stations, as well as an agreement for the artist to sign with the local stations when they do that. That agreement has been reviewed by our legal counsel and approved. We've also entered into a discussion with the Future of Music Coalition that is very interested in working with us to make more musicians, particularly progressive musicians and new artists, aware of the use of Creative Commons licensing by non-commercials to bring larger audiences to musicians. So those are some of the things that we're doing in terms of PodSafe. In terms of the infrastructure for digital distribution, we've itemized hardware and software required for this. We've identified some software programming that we think will assist us to make it possible for us to post programming to the program guide and make it simple for people to use that. We also have worked with the Internet Archive, or archive.org, who has also agreed to serve as a resource partner with Pacifica. And one of the other things that they've offered to do is develop an estimate for digitizing the Pacifica Radio archives.
Rob is going to do that?
The Internet Archive. They said that they would do it for their cost, which they say will be significantly less than the prices that we've been quoted in the past.
Great.
The Internet Archive has got digitization projects going on in a number of media areas. For example, they're digitizing 500 books every day. So it's the sort of thing that they're doing. In terms of donors, the Creative Commons people have put us in contact with with a large foundation, the MacArthur Foundation, and we're talking with them about the possibility of partnering with MacArthur down the road. Those discussions have just begun. So, I can't say where that's going to head at this point. But we've reached out to a number of national, regional, and local foundations, some of whom have worked with Pacifica in the past and some of whom haven't. And we have a long list of names of potential partners in that area. We're also taking a look at some direct funding possibilities. In terms of the producer agreements, we had some, during the transition of leadership in Pacifica, we had some delays in terms of working with our FCC council, so that we're still waiting to finalize that agreement and bring that to the PNB. But we hope that that will happen any day now. And in addition to that, the Creative Commons IT people have also agreed to develop mock-ups so that producers can understand the benefits and the rights involved in this type of distribution. Let me see. Those are some of the big things. The only other specific detail that I would add is that we have a grant proposal, a five-figure grant proposal, which should go out this week. And I'm hoping that it will help us fund some of the basic infrastructure necessary to go digital, in the next few months.
Great.
So in the interest of time, let me cut it off there.
Okay, let me just, does anyone have any questions for Rob before he has to get off the phone again?
I can spend a couple of minutes on with you now.
Okay, I had one question, Rob, which was if we, there's some artists like really totally off-label people that, Middle Eastern artists that I use, if I can convince them to at least put up some things, can we individually approach some artists and ask?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. I mean, it's going to take us a little while to learn how to explain the agreements that are involved, but that's the sort of thing that we can begin doing hopefully almost immediately. Of course, there are, there are web and there are recording and other issues involved here, but I think that there are a lot of people that have done this in the past, and I think that that by the end of the year we'll be going, if not great guns, we'll at least be making progress in this area.
Great. Anyone else have questions for Rob? No? Do we want to return to the discussion then with Nathan?
Well, I did want to make one other, bring up one other item, and there's a draft document that I'll send to everyone later tonight or tomorrow morning, but I would like the committee to consider signing off on a proposal, not to create a must-carry policy, but simply that says that the network shall have access to the local station airwaves. We're in a situation here again where the elections are going on, and we've had no publicity in our elections. We haven't been able to field a sufficient field of candidates. We're running into problems that I'm not going to go into now, regarding compliance issues. And I really feel that we're not making progress as a network in beginning to do some of the things that it's going to take us to create, for example, even a national broadcast to bookend Democracy Now. So I'm going to develop, or I have a draft, and I'll send it to everyone within the next 24 hours. But I think that we've completely, that the airwaves have gotten away from Pacifica.
Rob, if you send that, and I will resend once I get back home later in the week, the national program policy, and everyone looks at both those documents for a rather freewheeling discussion at our next meeting, the third Monday of November, okay?
Yep, that would be great.
Okay,
that would be great.
Back to Nathan and see if we could try and get all the questions and comments out and then let Nathan respond. Serene, were you finished?
Actually, I wanted to catch Rob before he leaves.
Are you there, Rob?
I'm here.
Okay. Who's helping with the writing of the grant?
Me.
Okay.
And I've asked several other people in the network to take a look at it, and I'm going to continue to do that. I should say, if anybody there has got people that have got skills in this area, we need help.
Okay.
I think that there are a lot of grantors that would look at Pacifica, but we don't all, have great skills in terms of grant writing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Anything else? Okay. Lisa, were you done in terms of some of the comments and questions you have for Nathan?
No, it's Serene. And yes, I do. I know I wasn't done. Yes, I have more.
Sure.
So, Nathan, my question to you includes what steps have you taken on race and nationality? Have you considered writing grants for funding
for that program, as was suggested by the group the first time we met with you, I think in May of last year. And I think there was one other meeting, and then essentially you seem to have washed your hands of the whole thing. I would also like to know when you will be giving us some figures on what national programming money was spent last year. I have this sense that there's a strong connection between our affiliations and the programming that we offer, because they come to us not because we're all good looking, but because we offer programming they're interested in. So monies that come from the affiliates should be available in part, in addition to expanding and strengthening the affiliate program, should be available for programming expenses within the network. So I'd like to know what you see as the connection between those two, because perhaps your view is completely different, and that explains why I keep asking the same question and not getting a response. But what is your view of the relationship between the affiliates and the programming expenses and income? And when are we getting hard numbers on where the money went last year?
Okay. Nathan, can you just hold your response, and let's get any other comments and questions out. Wendy had a question about the total budget, which needs to get answered. You addressed some of the issue about foundations. Any other comments or questions?
Okay, this is Kimberly. I'm going to have to go in a second, but I did want to just say a couple of things. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Mm-hmm.
Just one thing is I think it's a great idea to have a national election program, and I think it would be great if the announcement were to go out to all the stations, and that people, programmers who are interested and who have the skill could apply to help produce some of the segments. I think that would be really important to involve the different networks as much as possible. And two, I was wondering if there had been a discussion about the topics that would be covered. In particular, I think it would be important to cover not just the Democratic and the Republican candidates, but, you know, if there are any alternative candidates running, and also as far as issues focusing on working people, focusing on poverty, focusing on issues of gender and people of color, affirmative action. I wonder if there has been a thought about the topics that would be covered.
Okay. Any other comments or questions before we get Nathan to kind of tackle them all? I'll put myself on the list then. And it's related to Kimberly's suggestion. I always have concern about how local programmers are going to be pulled in. And, you know, one of my concerns is that so often who gets pulled in is only the paid programmers of the station. And I don't know how we manage to bring the incredible skills and very often expertise of so many of our unpaid programmers, and have them in turn working to bring in new voices as they produce segments. So if you could add that to the list of questions that we've asked you, Nathan.
Sure.
Any other questions for Nathan? Okay, Nathan, go for it.
Okay, let's see. Serene had a few questions in there. Putting carts before horses was my reference. We're not really well beyond putting a cart before the horse yet. My proposal, while rather fleshed out, is still quite new and also quite flexible on a number of points. So I'm bringing it to the committee as soon as I could. Let's see. Most of your questions have to do with finance. Numbers on how money was spent on programming last year. I mean, that's a whole finance budget discussion. In the finance committee, I'm sure, would have better figures on that. You've asked me on these calls before about informed dissent, how much was spent on it, and I've said a couple times, I think, that it was roughly $40,000. I think the exact number was like $43,000 for a 10-week series. It came out to about $2,000 per hour. Most segment producers got paid like $165 for like a full feature. Sort of shorter pieces, vox pops, things like that, got $50 or $100. depending on the length and sort of complexity of the production. The producers themselves got some other amount. I'm not sure exactly. I don't have it in front of me. As far as the ethnicity and race of the folks that did that program, that put that together, there were actually 55 producers and reporters that contributed to that program. And I just pulled up an email from a while ago that it looks like Greg sent out back in March. Basically, we sent out self-identification forms to the 55 producers and reporters that worked on the series. Only 8 folks actually replied. 4 males, 4 females. Among the ethnic breakdown, there were, among the 8, 1 Asian, 1 American Indian, 1 Latino, and 5 white. But of course, 8 responses out of 55 is hardly representative. But that's the best we've got, since really the only thing I can legally say is what we get in terms of self-identifications. So yeah, that's that. Let's see, other questions.
And then Wendy has the question about the total budget for...
total budget, yeah. I mean, you know, I did like 4 different levels of budget. basically, if we go crazy all out and, you know, have a web producer and have, like, you know, a flush budget that with, like, an overhead cost and contingency funds and new pieces of equipment that we write in for grants that the network needs anyway, you know, that kind of thing that you do, it would be a big chunk of change. I mean, we're talking about $250,000 or so. That said, it could be done bare bones. Again, assuming we're paying the stringers and paying them somewhat competitive rates, we could do it on about $110,000, $120,000. If Pacifica and FSRN combined could pony up $40,000 to $50,000 of that, I think that would go a long way to showing grant writers or grant makers, that is, that we're serious about it and that we, that is in cash, not to mention the in-kind support, that we're serious about it and that we're going to, really do this program right. The other thing I would actually argue for in terms of the other reason I would argue for close to competitive stringer rates is that then a lot of these questions about must carry or getting the stations to play it or not, you know, that kind of thing that we've been sort of wrangling with wouldn't have to be a big issue because we'd be attracting a level of reporter, those who already have positions in the network and those who have an amazing richness of talent that Shrina referred to. We will be attracting a level of reporter and producer that's able to really make this show just shine and just be golden. And so to fit in a 1-hour program a week, that's that good, I think the fight would be not a fight anymore. I think it would be quite a joy to hear it on the stations. Anyway, there's that. Kimberly asked about, yes, involving all the networks as much as possible, as did Sterna, similar concern. Look, I'm not interested in just tapping into the same 12 stars or whatever we've got. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that do a lot of amazing work at our sister stations as well as our affiliates. And the affiliates are another incredibly untapped resource as far as programming goes. I think attracting folks from both of those would be great. The one thing I'm kind of trying to do now to start getting people in the mind of it is I just started doing this week. Is trying to get people to start producing for Sprouts. Sprouts is sort of an under-the-radar show. It's all unpaid. It's basically a half-hour program that's nationally distributed and picked up by quite a few stations on various topics, sort of a documentary format pretty often. So what I want to do is basically have people use Sprouts as kind of a testing ground. And so start thinking about this kind of topic, you know, taking your local issues and finding national connections. Whip out a half-hour program on it, which can just be a few interviews even, and edit it down and throw it together. And then you're automatically my roster, essentially. I mean, you know, if you can do that, you can easily do a 4-minute production, a 4-minute feature that's going to be top-notch. So that's you know, one plan for trying to bring in more people like that. The other plan is simply using the networks that I've got or know of in terms of email networks and others. You know, beyond that, there's only so much I can do from afar without sort of physically seeing people at the station, since I'm only at one station. And then finally, Kimberly also asked about discussion as to what topics to be covered. I mean, I can assure you that we're not just going to do Democrat and Republican stuff. In fact, if anything, this program is about elections. Don't get me wrong, it is about elections, but it's also, more importantly, I mean, I think the bulk of the show is about the issues behind the elections and the issues that make the elections what they are or what they should be. I mean, that's the frustrating thing about elections is that, and especially the media coverage of them, is that it limits how issues are framed in the mass media coverage of elections, always limits people's conception of what's possible. And so I think if we can open up that sense of what's possible, that sense of change, then I think we can. That obviously involves a lot more than just talking to the Democrats and talking to the Republicans. Because the vision from either of those camps is going to be pretty limited. I mean, issues affecting working people and gender and all that is and people of color and a lot of other important issues. Those are going to be incorporated. We have not had an editorial priorities conversation yet. Frankly, I think without having the staff on board, that's we're premature. I mean, I really am bringing this to you all pretty early, despite. What it may sound like. Is that? That's what I've got.
Okay, Nathan, you, because maybe we can incorporate more of the issues. I think, you know, both Kimberly and I raised that whole issue of how we involve local programmers and really setting up a system to do that kind of outreach, and you're beginning to think about it. If you can send us, you know, as you develop this, and we could have this as part of this free-ranging discussion next month, because it does, in fact, tie in directly to the implementation of the national program policy.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. And this was designed very much with the programming policy in mind. I mean, I consulted it as we had the conversations. You know, to bring in voices from our stations, to root it at the stations. I think this small crew of central coordination is a fairly modest accommodation in terms of making it a sort of a seamless program. I think that there's a lot of potential, and I also agree with Kimberly's idea of basically advertising it far and wide once we decide something we're going to do. I mean, obviously, it's early to do that right now. I think the time comes, we'll do it.
Okay. Well, I did promise people that we would finish by 6:45. Does anyone else have any other comments or questions before we close the conversation? If not,
quick question.
Okay, Sabrina.
I'm sorry, I was transitioning out of the car, so I might have missed this. But when are we going to get the figures on what programming money was spent on last year?
What would you like to know?
I would like to know the proposed budget and then the actual expenditures for informed dissent for each of the national specials that we've had. That would be a good place to start.
I did speak informed dissent a bit. Otherwise, you know who's going to have those figures at hand would be Lonnie.
Maybe you can request that Lonnie compile those.
And then forward them to the committee.
That would be fine. I've got his email address if you want me to send it to you.
No, I'd like you to send it to the committee. I think everybody's entitled to know that. How are we spending the money that we have?
Yeah, I can give you Lonnie's email address. You can write to him. I'm sure.
As network program coordinator, you're telling me you have no idea what money was spent anywhere, and as an individual, I now have to track down the CFO to ask him because you won't get the information for us?
I have a sense of how much money was spent. I can pull up, hold up here.
Why don't you send us what you have? You did outline for us the informed dissent costs. Can you send us whatever other information you have, and then maybe we could see what gaps there are and request that Lonnie send that to us.
Yeah, I mean, what's the purpose exactly of this particular thing, though? I mean, the programming committee basically makes sure that the mission is being fulfilled vis-a-vis programming. I mean, if there's a financial mismanagement question, bring it up to the finance committee. I don't understand.
I'm sorry, point of personal privilege. I don't think I said anything about mismanagement. I don't think I've ever implied that. I said I want to know where we're spending the money that we have with regard to programming.
Fine. If there's a question about finances, bring it up with the finance committee.
I'm not on the finance committee. You know, you're being very combative, and this is a very simple question.
Wait.
If you're unwilling to do it, then say that.
Point of order?
Is anyone on this committee on the finance committee? No. Okay.
Well, I can give you a general sense of things here if I can just find the document.
So why don't you see what you can find, because I promised that we would end this call in 1 minute.
That's fine. Yeah, I mean, I didn't spend that much money from programming this year. It was something like maybe $30,000 total or $25,000 total, which included the U.S. Social Forum, which was that was by far the largest expense of the year so far. In July and August and September, I really spent no money at all because we basically ran out of money in the national office, and national programming is kind of like the first thing to be cut. So, you know, I mean, there wasn't much of anything in the last few months. There's a few modest specials earlier this year where it was perhaps $1,000 here or you know, a few hundred there.
The issue of, you know, special programming and the cost, I think, is what Serene is really after. If you could gather what you have and send it to us, I think that, you know, would satisfy us all. So I'd like to end the conversation.
Well,
reminding everyone that what we agreed is that we were really going to focus on kind of goals and directions for the committee, looking at the national program policy, this resolution that Rob has, some of the ideas that Nathan's presented, and I personally would really like a report next time from Nathan on the extent to which the PDs are signing on to a commitment to really involve their local programmers in this whole thing.
Okay.
Okay. All right, everyone. So until the third Monday of November at 5:30 Pacific time, 7:30 Central, and 8:30 Eastern. By then it's not daylight savings time, right? Whatever.
No, you're still right.
Okay. And then if everyone does look at those documents, and Wendy, if you could send out, the minutes or the notes that you took. Don't spend a lot of time on it.
Okay.
That would be helpful, too. And hopefully Rob could also, in a report form, send us his update on the licensing and distribution. Okay?
Yes, thank you.
Good night.
Good night. Bye.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.